And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our second guest today in the second half hour segment is Brooks Fino. He is the author of Corporate Diversification, Opportunities Created by Winds of Change. Brooks, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome to you as well. Glad to join all of you.
Well, no, we appreciate you coming on today. You know, there is no question that the climate of change today is crazy. It's accelerating at a rate we've never seen with technology, with just everything, even personal growth. Time is of the essence. What made you decide to write this book?
Well, first of all, there's a need for a book like this. There's no other published book that deals directly with small to medium-sized manufacturing and service companies dealing with the environment in which we face that you just mentioned of change. Sooner or later, every company of growth-minded orientation is going to face the option of considering diversification into new products and new markets. And that's where this book and my approach comes in handy, because there's no real manual on what some of the options and opportunities are to expand through change and diversification.
You know, change is sometimes a scary word, Brooks. You know, people sometimes get very nervous when they're changing their anything, let alone, you know, especially when it comes to work. Why do you think it is that people are so afraid of change?
Well, first of all, change comes about for two reasons, and it's important to underscore those two. First is that people are uncomfortable with the way in which people are adapting. And the second is that they see opportunities so particularly favorable by changing that they will then instigate a change. But those are kind of the two ground rules, because as you point out, people aren't really anxious to change. However, they are changing, but they prefer not to face up to that reality.
And change sometimes, when it's sporadic or, you know, if you want to call it, with no process, can really have disruption in production. It has disruption in the workplace. It has disruption with people's feelings and how they feel about the organization. Well, how have you seen change affect the manufacturing segment?
Well, I think change varies depending upon the environment. We as individuals change, and I liken the analogy of the fact that we're sort of polar bears standing on an ice floe. And while everything looks quite sanguine around us, we are actually floating in a direction of the current. Now, not only are we changing, but the things that we see if we're involved in active lifestyle are changing rapidly around us. Some of them are changing faster than others. For example, we've seen rapid change in automobiles, but not so much in the basic automobile as in the electronics that goes into the automobile. So depending on where you look, there is a different rate of change, but it's all around us and involving everything we do.
You're correct. It's certainly there are elements of life that are changing faster than others. When you wrote this book and looked at corporate diversification, what are the things that you found were the key elements of these corporate growths and change?
Well, I think the first key element starts with the desire of the principal of the particular business, whether it be a manufacturing or a service company, and a desire for them to face up to change and the opportunities surrounding it. Now, we look at it either as riding on the crest of a wave or being behind the wave. If you want to stay on the crest of a wave, you've got to be out front in terms of what your environment is from a business standpoint, whether it be a a restaurant or whether it be a service company or whether it be a manufacturing company. You've got to stay out ahead of the change, and that's the important element thereof.
You say in the preface of your book, this book represents my compendium of 50 years of work experience involved with primarily private-owned businesses and enriched by my personal marketing exposure in the field of sales, advertising, and market research firms of various size and types. Give us a little bit about your background.
Well, I've had a very fortunate opportunity to be involved in many businesses from the inside, in terms of helping them look at new products or new markets primarily. And I have extended my opportunities to go from Europe, where I was employed for a period of my life with a corporation, but from a consulting standpoint, from Germany all the way to China and spots in between. So I've had an opportunity to experience environmental diversification worldwide.
And what was the one thing that you noticed globally about the challenge of change?
I think it affects everyone in one degree or another, depending on the location. Some geographic areas are more adapted to change. For example, when I was doing business in Russia, they are very slow to adapt to some of the technological innovations that are common to our country. But that depends upon the field. In the military field, they've adapted much better than they have in the consumer products line. And in China, you're seeing now a very rapid adaptation to some of the ideas that we're offering. And this has caused us some problems in our trade relationship with China. So it depends geographically on the nature of the economy and the leadership thereof.
You know, you talk about an example of the libraries, right? Community resource centers. And I'm going to be one to acknowledge that there was a point I thought libraries were going away. Right? I mean, I thought they were just going to be done. And yet they've seemed to adapt. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I've put together a program for lectures at libraries, which is very relevant to what I do, which involves a PowerPoint presentation illustrating that libraries originally, as you point out, as we grew up, at least as I grew up as a child, a library was a place you would go and visit to check out a book or perhaps do some studying or reading in the library itself. And that part has shifted by necessity. And the library has become much more of a civic center, exercising the needs of people who wish to speak, whether it be authors or programs, civic programs or business programs. They have a central location which is receptive to the community for them to convey their messages. And so you have all sorts of types of programs now that are conducted in the libraries, ranging from the computerization of books and on down to theatrical and singing productions being performed within the confines of the library space.
We're talking with Brooks Fino. He is an author of the book Corporate Diversifications, Opportunities Created by the Winds of Change, and we appreciate him being on the show today. You know, Brooke, again, in your book, you say this book addresses the why should, the what are, and the how to of pursuing diverse growth opportunities through optimally intermixing an array of ingredients based primarily on the pursuit of market strategies and products or services. Take me through the book a little. Take me and explain to me the flow of how this book explains that process.
Well, the first part of the book, if I were to divide it into kind of three parts, the first part of the book explains diversification and what it means and how it works. And part of that explanation goes through the range of diversification. And I start with what I define as a tweet. and a tweet is a little bit of a change in the corporation, or it could be a personal change, too. For example, a tweet would be simply changing your message on your answering machine. That could be a kind of a thing that you could do on an almost daily basis, or a message in your advertising, or a new package design. Some small change that keeps you moving forward on the edge of the wave of change. The next one gets up to getting into new products or new services. And those have an element of risk. They're also a larger component of diversification. And new products fit very nicely, or new services, into the current market, and they're fairly easy to introduce from the standpoint of risk, comparatively. They are being sold to a marketplace that you're familiar with, and you may be increasing the price of your product or adding a new product or making some kind of a configuration change. Then you get into the more difficult areas of new markets. And the new market can become more complicated by virtue of the fact that you're entering a field in which you're an unknown. And the most common new market for us in the East Coast, anyway, is to sell over into Europe. But I've gone, as I mentioned in my book, I've taken some objects such as snow plows and sold them into different geographic areas of the country on behalf of my clients. And so that's a major next step. And as kind of an aside, I was instrumental in helping, and I guess this is a combination of a new product and a new market, in getting the metal lobster trap involved in use by lobstermen. That's kind of a new product, but into sort of the same marketplace. And then you go from there into the next extreme of making an acquisition, which is a whole new risk concept, and it's very hard to find an attractive opportunity thereof. But that's kind of the end of the first stage of my growth in the book. And then the next part of the book involves examples of companies that are doing all of these things, tweaking, getting into new products and new markets. And these are actual practical examples with corporate names of firms that do this and have done this with varying degrees of success, and some of the reasons thereof of why it worked out well or didn't. And the final section of the book involves focusing on some of the do's and don'ts that are associated with successful introduction of new products and things to look out for in terms of planning, personnel, and following up. And I think that's very important, because the better the planning is around the diversification, the less the risk factor is and the more effectively it develops.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. I'm your host, David Chulo. And today we're talking with Brooks Fino. He's the author of Corporate Diversification, Opportunities Created by the Winds of Change. Brooks, I have your book right in my hand today by Archway Publishing. I got to tell you, it's nice. You've done a nice job with this book.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's got a good hand to it. It's easy reading, yet it's full of information, which I think is exactly what HR professionals and business leaders will need. You know, one of the examples in the book you bring up is Dunkin' Donuts as a corporate example. And I think this illustrates a very strong example of what you're talking about. So I'm going to let you tell the story. Tell us exactly some of the tips people can take away from that. And so I'd love to hear it. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think that a service company like Dunkin' Donuts is in a better position to make changes than perhaps a manufacturing company. Now, Dunkin' Donuts has come on the scene a number of years back as a purveyor of primarily donuts and obviously coffee, and has become very entrenched in the American mind as a basic purveyor of a substance that is commonly used. Now, Dunkin' Donuts has switched its position in terms of adding various different kinds of products, of food products, to its mix over the years. And it has now provides sandwiches of different types and donut as well as donuts. And more recently, and I think of particularly noteworthy, is that they have made a switch, which is very symbolic, by eliminating the word donut as they move from a strategic point of view to adapt to the market of what they really do, which is providing various different food products. And they have also followed the trend of providing a full array of food during the course of the day to not only support their original thrust, which was breakfasts, but on to noontime and late afternoon sources of sustenance. And so I think that's a good example of how a firm evolves over time to fit the needs of the marketplace and obviously to compete with its rivals such as Starbucks. And so that's sort of a quick thumbnail of a story that Dunkin' Donuts provides.
Yeah, well, Dunkin' Donuts is certainly an interesting organization. I mean, you can see they constantly are changing the name. I mean, now they're going to Dunkin', right? They're taking the donuts out to try to give it more of a different feel, right? It's not just about the donuts. When you think of their old marketing, it was always about the guy with the donuts. So it's very interesting that they've done that. The other corporate example you provided was Amazon. And so why don't you take a couple minutes to explain it, because they're fascinating in what they've done.
Well, Amazon, of course, started out as a and I heard recently about somebody that was a suite mate of Amazon's founder and how they had decided to take a look at purveying books, sale of books over the Internet, which was kind of an odd approach. But they started out with that in mind and have taken a network of users and through a variety of different means have expanded their base both from a standpoint of users and a standpoint of products. And the kind of diversification that they've gone to has been a combination of both. And most recently, and the thing that excites, I think, all of us as we watch their future evolution, is their downward diversification. They have become a very sophisticated provider or purveyor of delivery services. And you see that has really helped them achieve their growth. And now you can acquire a product of a wide range of items. You can acquire it very rapidly through Amazon Prime on the computer, and you can order it and you get delivery in the next couple of days. And that's gotten a real edge over the big box firms that would require that you actually walk down to the store, look up the product, and hope that it's in stock, and then take it home. And the whole process there is one of inconvenience, as opposed to Amazon, where the product just arrives. Now, I live in the city, and it's very interesting to see that now these boxes of food arrive for the other residents of our high-rise on a daily basis, green boxes being delivered by Amazon. And it's incredible that people are now starting to order their menu items even faster than you can place an order and get delivery from a fast food place. Amazon gives you an entire meal from your local outlet delivered right to your apartment or dwelling. And this is taken advantage of by students and others who seek this convenience in their exercise of their lives.
It is a fascinating story. In your book also, again, we're talking with Brooks Phenos. He has written a book called Corporate Diversification, Opportunities Created by the Winds of Change. You know, Brooks, I got to tell you, I've had an opportunity to look over your book, which you so graciously sent me. And what I liked about it is that it really gave some very simple and concrete tools and steps that people can look at and really go through. So again, I commend you on the simplicity of the book and the ease of use, which I think business leaders will really enjoy. You know, as we wrap up the show today, we've got about a minute and a half left. Tell me the one thing that you hope people get from your book.
Two things. One, the opportunities afforded by change, and two, the importance of taking advantage of those opportunities to stay ahead of others.
We're talking with Brooks Phenos. His book, Corporate Diversification, Opportunities Created by the Winds of Change. It's available, of course, on Amazon, no pun intended, to today's show. And, of course, you can go to hrpowerhour.com after this show. You'll be able to click on Brooks' information, be able to listen to this show, of course, again. And, of course, you'll be able to order his book directly from a link online. Brooke, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, I thank you very much for giving the opportunity, so to speak.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez at VeralDana. Has your company recently audited its risk for joint employment liability? Do you use a third-party vendor for temporary work or otherwise use contract labor? Have you recently assessed whether you are using best practices to decrease possible liability as to joint employment? Things that should be considered in this analysis include the interrelationship of operations between the two entities, whether there is common ownership and financial control of the two entities, whether the two entities have common management, and whether there is centralized labor relations or centralized personnel. While each state has individualized standards to determine joint employment, these factors serve as the basis of many of the tests. To further assess your risk of joint employment, talk to a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.